We are on our series called Making Healthier Communities. And remember, we were talking about how God spoke this is going to be the best year ever, and a lot of it had to do with health. And specifically right now, we're talking about making healthier communities. And I gave you the overview last week, which had a lot of stuff in it. But today specifically, we're going to look at making healthier communities relationally. Because a community that you live in has a lot of different relationships in it, from the employers, employees, people who are buying stuff, people who are selling stuff, laborers, bosses. There's a multitude of relationships, and healthy relationships help make healthy communities. Okay? So let's have a look at what Scripture has to say. I believe that first of all, we make healthier communities relationally by loving others as ourselves. Okay, this is really important. So let's have a look at some scripture. Matthew 22 and verse 37. It says, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." In other words, he's saying you can fulfill all the laws in here with these two. Simply loving the Lord God and loving your neighbor as yourself. A healthy community has people who care about those around them just as much as they care about themselves. An unhealthy community has a lot of selfishness, and I don't like them because they look different, or I'm going to be upset at them because they talk different, act different. That brings unhealth. But healthy communities know how to love one another. But let me give you another scripture. We'll keep moving quickly today. Romans 13:8 says, "Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment." He's saying it again. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now listen to the next part. Love does no wrong to others. So love fulfills the requirements of the law. You see, when we love others, we're not going to steal from them because we wouldn't steal from ourselves. When we love someone, we're not going to give them what for because we wouldn't want to do that, have it done to us, would we? So by thinking before we act, thinking, would I like it if someone did this to me, is a way of showing love to others. So not being reactive or just acting out of emotion, but thinking about it. Is this how I'd want to be treated back? That's just a basic way of showing love. Okay, so think about that. And sometimes it's like, well, they did it first. Still not a good reason to do it. Well, they were mean first. Well, that guy cut me off in traffic, so I'm going to speed past him and cut him off. I have the right. Well, actually, you don't. You can get a ticket just like he can get a ticket. And scripturally, is that really what you want? Well, no, you didn't. You didn't like it when it happened to you, so why do it? I know for myself, I like to think, well, there's been times that I don't drive that well, so I don't get upset at other people with their driving. I just think that could be me on a tired day after preaching. That could be me when I didn't get enough sleep. Sometimes driving at night and that person's coming with their really bright lights. Like, oh, dim your lights. And if it's a far enough distance, you know, you can let them know, oh, light dimming. But when it's close, I never flashed them because I hate it when people do that to me. And I also have times where I'm like driving along, past three vehicles, and my wife will be, are you going to turn your brights off? Oh, yeah. And it's amazing how for ourselves we completely understand what happened. So it's a little picture of how it works, but treat them the way you want to be treated. And so for all areas of life and work and relationship in your community, think first before you act. Is this what I would do? Try to put yourself in the other person's position. Did you note being aware of others instead of just self-consumed really helps with how you treat others? Because let's be honest, if you're no matter where you're buying something or doing something, you're going up there and all you can think about is the problems you're going through and what people did to me and all. By the time you get there, you have no clue. But what about before it's your turn, actually being aware of what's going on? Wow, that teller looks like they are having a really bad day. Or maybe they look like they're having a really great day. I don't think I'll wreck it. You get the picture, being aware and remembering if you're a Christian, you are actually showing others a bit of Jesus. Oh boy. And maybe the only light or the only Jesus they're going to see is through you. So if you are really nasty, what do they think about all Christians or what do they think about Jesus? Oh yeah, I'm not going to church. All church people are like this. Put yourself in their spot. How would you want to be treated? Let's show love because I believe that changes a community. Why would someone want to hear about what you believe if they don't even think you care a hoot about them or you're just trying to get a check mark? Oh, talk to them, check. That's not what we do. We show love. Let me keep going. I said I was going to go fast. Ooh, here we go. Luke 10:25. One day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? Then the man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul and all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him, do this and you will live. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? This is a good question. So he's a bit of a lawyer, and he wants to get the particulars. In other words, he's trying to be like, so who do I actually have to be nice to? He's hoping there's like a limit. Is it just my family? Is it just the people like within 5 miles of me? Like he's trying to figure it out. And Jesus answers him with a story, because stories can tell things even better than words that are just straight out. Jesus tells him the story of the Good Samaritan. And Jesus says it to him like this. He says to him, there was a man going from Jerusalem to Jericho. And while he was going, some thieves found him. They beat him, took his stuff, and left him half dead in the ditch on the side of the road. And he said, along came a priest. For our terminology, along came a pastor, Pastor Dan. And Pastor Dan was too busy because he had prayer meeting, board meeting, and I don't know what else, and he went to the other side of the road. Somebody else will do it. I didn't actually see. And then along came a Levite. One of those happy, friendly, welcome team people on Sunday. You guys are awesome. And he was really busy because he had six kids. I think some people have 6 kids here. I don't know. And he needed to get home, and he went on the other side of the road. Somebody else will do it. And then along came a despised Samaritan. I don't know who we could use here that, you know, without getting me in trouble. I don't know. The point is, Jesus was picking somebody that his audience didn't like to be the one who did the right thing. The Samaritans were despised, and the audience Jesus was talking to actually did not like Samaritans at all and would even call them dogs. Jesus is doing this on purpose. And there is also a likelihood that the story he's telling could be based on some true things that have happened in the past. Because you see, Jesus heard from the Father, and he could most likely be sharing something that had some basis of truth and may have actually happened in the past. The priest walking by, the Levite walking by. But the Samaritan who they didn't like, he comes by, he sees the man on the side of the road. You know, he was going down the road for a reason too. He had somewhere to go. He had something to do. He had things that he needed to look after, just like everybody else. But he stopped, and he went, and it says he bandaged up the man, poured oil and wine on the wounds, and took him to an inn, to the innkeeper, and he said, here, you need to give this person a bed. Make sure they're looked after. And he said, whatever, here's some money now, and when I come back through, if you need any more money for looking after him, I'll pay it to you. Wow. And then Jesus looks at the lawyer and he says, so, who do you think was neighbor to this person? And of course, the lawyer, being smart like lawyers are, said, the guy who showed mercy. And Jesus said, you need to go and do the same thing. In other words, Jesus turned it around to, it's not about their relationship to you, it's about who you are to the people around you. You're to be the neighbor. You don't try to look and say, well, are they my neighbor? Are they some? No, who are you? Are you a good neighbor to the people that God brings into your space? Do you care? Do you show love? You see, love is an action word, not just a feeling. Love is something that can be clearly observed. Many times in our culture, we think, well, love is a feeling, love is just an emotion. Love is an action word. Because when you truly love someone, actions follow. When you truly love, you take a step and you show it. Anybody here ever been in love? Okay. Some of you are married and you're not even putting your hand up. You're supposed to, I'm still in love. What are you talking about? Yes, yes, you're still in love. There's some, I don't know. Well, for most of us, we understand what that meant. There was actions. Anybody ever have a girlfriend or a boyfriend? If you're married, you should probably still put up your hand. You did at one point. What did you do about it? Now, if you're here single still, you probably did nothing. That's the problem. You didn't know love had actions. Actions must follow. Those who got married or had a boyfriend or girlfriend, there was actions that took place. They realized, I can't just feel this. I should take action. I should go talk to them. I remember when I met my wife. Obviously, she wasn't my wife or my girlfriend at the time. And I remember after prayer realizing, yeah, this is the girl. And I decided, okay, I got to put some action to this. I'm going to need to ask her if she wants to be my girlfriend. And so I thought about it, and I knew a little bit about her. I knew she liked dogs, and I knew she liked watches, pocket watches. So we're at this store, and I bought a pocket watch with a dog on it. And it was gold. But my budget, it was fake paint gold, just in case anybody's wondering. And I bought that, and then I gave that watch to her, and I said, I am just wondering, would you like to be my girlfriend? And I said, before you say yes or no, I'm asking this with the thought that down the road you'd be my wife. She looked at the pocket watch before she answered. No, she didn't. Is this real gold? No, she didn't say that either. She said yes, and I know she was thankful for that pocket watch. You see, love turns into action, and then it truly is love. Without action, it's just feelings and memories of things that never come to pass. So put action to true love. And in a community, action must happen between others and between relationships for your community to be healthy. I got to keep going. We make healthier communities relationally by connecting with those who need what we have. The relational connection has to happen with one another and beyond your church. I'm talking to mostly church people here today. So let me say this, you must connect beyond. Luke 5, verse 30, it says, the scribes and Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I've not come to call righteous, but sinners to repentance. And let me give you another verse before I say any more. Matthew 8:16, talking about things Jesus did. It said, that evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple command, and he healed all the sick. You see, Jesus didn't come to just hang out with those who looked and acted just like him. He came for people who needed what he had. Sick people, hurting people, those who were spiritually oppressed. And he gave them what they needed. I'm saying this to you who are Christians. If you never go outside of your few friends at church, if you never reach out to others, how are they going to experience what you have? And I hope you have something. You see, there's people that are needing what you and I have. They're not going to receive it if we're not willing to have relationship and communication with those who are different than us. So when you do that and you step out and connect, you show them the love and the power of Jesus. And according to Scripture and according to what happens in our world even today, connecting with others and showing them the love of Jesus can transform entire communities. Let me give you a couple from Scripture. Acts 8 and 5 to 12. It's talking about a story of a man named Philip who goes into Samaria and he starts to share the love of Jesus with anybody who will listen. And listen to what happens. Verse 5, Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah, or about Jesus. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous signs he did. Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims, and many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed, so there was great joy in that city. There was also a man named Simon who had been a sorcerer there for many years, and he amazed the people of Samaria and claimed to be someone great. Everyone from the least to the greatest often spoke of him as the Great One or the power of God. They listened closely to him because for a long time he had astounded them with his magic. But now the people believe Philip's message of good news concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. As a result, many men and women were baptized. Philip went into a community that had been totally into sorcery and witchcraft. And there's some power in that stuff. But unfortunately, any kind of power that has evil or darkness attached to it eventually brings people down to the depths, no matter how good it looks. But he came in and he began to talk about the love of Jesus, and they saw the power of God, and an entire city says, yeah, we want what God has, not what we used to have. And even this sorcerer named Simon says, you know what? I can see what you have is better than what I have. I want what you have. And he also wants the right thing. There's another story in Acts chapter 19 about Paul in Ephesus. And I'm going to read a couple verses and then skip ahead. So chapter 19 and verse 10. Paul is talking to the people about Jesus, and it says this went on for the next 2 years, so that people throughout the province of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. And God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. When handkerchiefs or aprons that had merely touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases and evil spirits were expelled. I'm going to come back to that in a minute, but go to verse 18 and 19 of the same chapter. And it says, many who became believers confessed their sinful practices. A number of them had been practicing sorcery, brought their incantation books, and burned them at a public bonfire. The value of the books was several million dollars. What? Okay, so I want you to get this picture for a moment. Paul is going where people need what he has. He didn't stick to his own. He said, you know what? There's some people in Ephesus that know nothing about Jesus, and I believe it's the answer and the power. And he begins to talk to them about the power of God. And of course, again, as you see, there is people that are set free when miracles happen. They even say in this point of time with Paul, handkerchiefs or things that were on his person because of the power of God flowing through him, they would take them somewhere and the person would be healed. And yes, I've heard of those types of miracles still today because it's not the people that do it, it's the presence of God. And then the faith, believing that this point of contact, Jesus will do the miracle. Okay, it happens still today. But with this happening, many people believe. And they decide, I'm done with the lesser power that I used to have. I'm done with the thing that isn't even close to this. Because you see, the trouble with power that's gotten through sorcery or witchcraft, there's always a price attached to it. There's always a spirit that comes with it, and it's not worth it. You see, the power that comes through from Jesus is a power and a love that's completely free. Did you know that? You don't have to sacrifice anything. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to work hard enough for it. It's free. Big difference. And people said, you know what? This is more powerful. And so they took what they had been doing in the past and ended it. Whether that meant for them burning it or saying, I'm done with this and putting it aside, I'm going fully for Jesus. And that's what they did. And I can tell you this, over and over through history, this happens. Because when you come face to face with the power and the love of Jesus, nothing else compares. Nothing else compares. Do I want something that comes with fear and pain, but oh well, I can do it? No, I don't. But oh, the true love of Jesus transformed me one day. I'm up here preaching not because I'm great or I figured it out, but because of how great he is and his love working through me. And that is worth it. One last point that'll take me a couple minutes. I'm watching the clock, though. I got you. Matthew 5 and verse 14 is the verse we're going to go to. And I'm speaking one more thing about healthy relationships, and it's this. We need to be bright lights. We've already kind of talked about it a little bit, but let me give you a few scriptures, and then we're going to wrap up. Matthew 5, 14. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. You are lights. Let your light shine. And I tell you this, as you learn to let your light shine, I believe it becomes brighter and brighter because it is a learning process. Let your light shine. Let it shine bright. Philippians 2:14, do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may be innocent and pure as God's perfect children who live in a world of corrupt and sinful people. You must shine among them like stars lighting up the sky. Anybody here ever wanted to be a star? You just got your wish. You are a star in God's eyes. Shine. Shine. There's a little kid's song. I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, Lord. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Okay, I better stop. Anyways, let it shine. It's what we're called to do. Did you know complaining and arguing isn't letting your light shine? Just by the scripture there, that's as deep as we're going on that today. Isaiah 58:10. Feed the hungry, help those in trouble, then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as the day. I'm giving you some practical how you let it shine things. Help those who need help. If you have the ability to do it, do it. In John 8, 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, when we follow Jesus, we have the true light to shine. Because the light doesn't come from us. Our own strength and our own goodness isn't very bright. But the light of Jesus flowing through us is a true bright light. And people following Christ make healthier communities relationally by loving others, by connecting with others, and by being bright lights in their community. And yes, those three are connected. You see, the ability and passion to do everything we've mentioned today is given to us by Jesus Christ. And we can love others because he first loved us. That's the key. When somebody fills you with love, it's easy to love others. You see, John 3:16 said, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. For God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I'm going to say this right now. I don't care where you've been, what you've done, what you've been through. Jesus right now looks at you and says, I paid for that. I paid for that on a cross. I paid for that, and I want to give you a free gift. That's what he says. I paid for it, and I want to give you the free gift. In Scripture, it's called salvation or being saved. It simply means you've said, Jesus, that price you paid on a cross, can I have it for me? And that means being saved. And then Scripture says, okay, this is simple. It is not difficult. He said, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is real and that he died for you and rose again, and you speak it with your mouth, that's all it takes. It's so simple. Some people are like, no, that can't be. Yes, it can be. And it's so good and so true. And so here at church, we say a prayer that just allows you to use your mouth. There's no power in the prayer, but it allows you to use your mouth. So if you're here today and you have never asked Christ to be your Savior, we're going to say a little prayer and we're going to just ask you to repeat it so that you can use words. And I ask everybody here to join. We're not trying to single anybody out or make anybody embarrassed. So I'm going to ask you to just bow with me right now and repeat this prayer after me, okay? Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. Make me new. I thank you for forgiveness and life, and I will follow you. Amen.